Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshet Harel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about feelings like wanting to be alone or wanting to be together, different phenomena that are becoming a part of life, like loneliness and more. We'll try to understand where is it coming from, where is it taking us. Yael, please. Yeah, on the one hand, we know that man is a social creature. He's influenced by the environment in which he is. Parents choose a good environment for their children to grow up in. And on the other hand, we know that there are things that we do want to do on our own. And a person, he needs some time for himself to think a bit, perform some self-scrutiny to understand who and what he is, what's going on outside of him, inside of him. So there are two operating forces. The one is that's really influenced by the environment and wanting to be together. And we also understand that being together is something very powerful. But on the other hand, we also have the desire to be alone, to take some time off for ourselves. And the question is, how do we find the right balance between these two? When to be alone and when to be together? This is our question. You're turning me into a shrink. No, you're a professional for things that we don't necessarily know about, for things that are beyond our own knowledge. First of all, I think that it's something very personal. It's in correspondence with a person's nature, and it's forbidden to have coercion in these matters. But we have to see. We have to give a group of children, or grown-ups, doesn't matter who, or even elderly, and for men and for women, and it's good to do it in a non-mixed society, because in a mixed society there is subconscious processing going on between the sexes, so it won't help us. It'll only confuse us and will make us err and will give us different phenomena that we don't know how to analyze. But what we do need is to give a group of people a method of how to connect above their ego. How can they connect? What are the laws of a society that can function as a society, that actually can function as one? And after we perform these exercises with them, where each annuls himself towards the others, and each sees himself as greater than the others, where each sees the others and himself as equals, that all of us together make exercises like depicting our connection as the peak of our development, the preferable kind of development, and the extent to which each one annuls himself towards this development, and what can they achieve as a result of connecting so much to the point where they become as one man and one heart, emotionally, intellectually, mutually annulling themselves towards each other as much as possible, and so on and so forth. And if we teach them this way, then we see people that are all different. And it's true, because from nature, that's how everyone is. And we're not going to connect groups. Suppose we have 1,000 people, and we make a group out of 10 people. So we don't connect the groups according to these are diligent, those are a bit more moderate or slower, or these are a bit lazy, or even less. Suppose they're wicked, they're clowns or something. But every time we allow them to mix, integrate with each other, we don't give them the opportunity to accustom themselves to some kind of a connection. But everyone should find who they think they should be with. And then we'll see that it's preferable for them not to be similar in any one of these circles, in any one of these tens. And this way, they'll complete each other in different ways. And just like from nature, we're all different. We actually also have to see people this way when they connect with one another. Why? If in the past we connected in a linear way, according to our inner nature, then a person could see who's closer to them, who's more similar to them, who fits them better, that they better understand each other's language, body language, inner language, emotional language, and so on. Whereas, if we want to build small societies where love covers for all crimes, then their connection has to be the very opposite. The more different they are, and they try to connect above that difference, even though that is if this effort doesn't lead to a good result, meaning to a homogeneous society, it doesn't matter. Their effort to achieve equality, despite their inequality, their incompatibility, this will give them the ability to rise above their corporeal nature and to start feeling what's going on here on the second story, where we connect above our nature, above our habits, above our inner qualities. And here, they can really attain the inner system of nature, that all of us, even though that we're different and even opposed, and there's no one that's similar to the others, but precisely because this is how we are, and of course everyone has to remain as they are, without yielding to society, but also without dominating it. But what we need is to find the right connection between us, where everyone completes the others without suppression, so that society will not suppress him, but also that he won't suppress society. And when we reach this subtle integrality, we start feeling that we're truly becoming one society, a family. And this is how they have to learn about the connection. This is how they have to learn how to connect, and not only them, but all the tens. And then, when a ten feel themselves as a single unit, then each of these units, which are as one, connect between them. Ten tens connect into one ten, where each unit equals ten, and so on and so forth, to the point where all of humanity become as one. So you just told us about how do we build the right way of being together, how to create a place where we connect in the right way together as a group. Sometimes it even goes against our natural instinct to be with those that are like us. You're actually saying to create a connection between different people. Here, we have to be like in a game of chance, as if to make room for fate. that fate, as the upper force, that arranged us this way from nature. How could we know 20 years ago that you, I, and Oren belong to a certain group that's now making this show on television and there is something special that unites us? We don't know about that. Meaning, to allow the upper force to connect us into a group, to allow chance to do it, or however you want to call it. Okay, so today we already understand that a group is a force. It's not the same kind of group that you're talking about, because a group is where we're all connected to one system with one goal, and everyone annuls themselves towards the group like a commando unit in the army. You're talking about something very exalted, and I'm trying to take it to... No, I'm not talking on a high level. I'm simply talking about a completely different method than what you're talking about. It's a completely different method that's simply uniting soldiers into a unit. If I want to realize this method in our day-to-day life, suppose in terms of raising my children or advancing in this direction, what can I do? Or what instructions can you give us for people that want to start connecting in this direction? At the moment, we don't want to learn about it in a special place, but we do want to take a few steps in terms of raising our children and reaching a place of unity. What can people do in order to build the fundamentals of care, mutual guarantee? No. Here we have to think about how to build a new educational system. That it's not like in summer camp or in the army or in other organizations. But we have to teach them how to be connected above the separation. It's a completely different approach. They have to know what are they doing, what are they doing it for, what is everyone's nature, how do they connect, and especially what they attain is the force of mutual bestowal, and not the force of being able to go against someone. It's not the egoistic force that you achieve, but it's the altruistic force. It's a different approach, a different goal. Everything's different. Going back to the question we started out with, what's better, to be alone or to be together? If being together means to sit in the seat of the scornful, or to be with felons, then of course it's better to be alone. Isn't that clear? What is the seat of the scornful? I don't know. If it's a society that smokes drugs together or do bad things together, or they steal together, or they beat up people. People have many different bad inclinations. So it's up to the society. If it's a good society, it's better to be in a society, and if it's not, then it's better for a person to be alone on his own. Yeah. There are different researches that talk about the benefits of being alone, because we can't provide a good environment, a good society for a person, and then of course it's better to be alone. When my child's at home, then at least he's at home. But we're saying beyond that, we're talking about it as an important developmental phase. First of all, there's a child psychologist called Winnicott that speaks about it. He says that the feeling of being alone is what separates a baby from his parents. It creates a feeling that I am an independent unit in this world. But this is when a person naturally develops, and this was this way 1,000 and 2,000 years ago too.
Right.
Other good things attributed to being alone is that it develops intellectual, mental processes. It leads to greater achievements, greater creativity, developing positive skills and feelings. Research has found connection between a person's creativity and being alone. It's true. It was always true. There's no dispute about it, that a person has to be alone too, he has to think, he has to travel on his own, he has to try out things on his own, he has to read books, he has to integrate with the materials, he has to process it on the inside. There's no dispute about it. What we're talking here about is how does that person connect with society? That's more critical. And before we connect with society, how important is it, the skill of being alone, which is kind of disappearing today? What does he need it for? In the past, he needed it in order to develop himself, to know how to connect with society and realize himself there. But the moment we became a global society, because a person can't connect with society, he turns to isolation. So this isolation, it's negative. It's not that. Suppose, like I used to be as a child, I came to the library and I took a row of books, then the next row of books, then the next one. And I read all these books. I gave them back, I took new ones. And the same with other things too. The main thing was through reading back then. I'm talking about the 50s and 60s of the previous century. So that's how it was. Afterwards came society. Today, it's a different approach. It's not the matter of that people don't read printed books, but read e-books. It's not about that. The thing is that nature is demanding of us, and it didn't demand of us before that, a different kind of participation. If previously I needed society as a child in order to play with others, then I found the need inside of me to play with them, different games and so on. And when I matured a bit, then it was a society of fellows like me, and we went to do different things together. We did sports together. We traveled together. Then also in the university somehow. Today, there's a different demand towards this new generation. A demand according to which they will have to connect between them, keeping their individualism and connecting between them against their ego. Today, their ego is rejecting them from connecting with each other. People don't want to leave home. They don't want to be connected with each other. And nature is pushing them, demanding them to connect. So what do? They have this inner split. And here comes the method which I'm representing here, that even though that nature is demanding us to connect and they're distanced from one another, there is a method of how to balance these two attitudes that both come from nature, where a person on the inside stays as he is and develops, like you say. No one says that he can be a musician and a writer and everything. Please, go ahead. And a soccer player and whatever. But nature forces all of us to be under this sphere, under this one force, to be connected under it, and we have to learn how to do it keeping our individualism. It's not like it was in the past. It's something completely new. Do you like being on your own, alone? Yes. Or do you prefer to be with other people? No. I like being alone, but there's a goal which is extremely important for me, due to which I leave my room and connect with all people. You see what's going on. Throughout the year, I travel all around the world. What is it that you like about being alone? Being alone, I can develop. I can develop personally. Personally, I can read books, different writings. This allows me to develop. Why does individual development demand you to be alone? Because this way I absorb the sources, the materials, different phenomena in a way that no one stands in my way. It's me. And then you develop individually. Yes. And you say that even though that you like being alone, I have to go out to connect with other people. Why? You said that there's a goal that forces you to do it? Yes, the more I give them, help them, it's not that I'm special. I'm talking about any person. The more I contribute to other people, this way, I also can absorb from them. It's called, I learn from all of my students. Why students? Because by wanting to pass on to them my good, friendly participation with them, towards them, to that extent, I can receive from them, according to this very approach, that I want to benefit them in every possible way. By this warm attitude towards them, in return, I get their impression. It's called, I learn from all of my students, and then they teach me. They enlighten me. And so what happens here is that we become mutually connected, I to them, to all of my students, and I learn from them. I become a student. And this way we connect. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the accumulation of wisdom. It's an attitude with respect to everything. So there are two levels. There is a personal level on which a person has to develop himself, and for this he has to be alone, on his own. But in order to maximize his abilities, he has to have an interaction with other people, and then he benefits them, and they benefit him. Goes back to his corner, keeps developing on his own. He gets something, he comes and passes it on to others, and so on. So it's not by chance that reality consists of these two parts where I'm both on my own, but also together. The time has come for us to connect this way. This is called the days of the Messiah, the last generation where we have to connect this way. What's the right balance between being on my own and the interaction? The right balance is something that everyone has to feel individually. You said this in the beginning, but still, can you give me some kind of some formula? What's the right balance? I'm not asking what to do now or what to do in an hour, but towards what yardstick can I measure? Is there a yardstick with respect to which I can measure that fits everyone? No. It's called a man's soul shall teach him, that he'll feel that he has to come out and publicize and bestow and also to receive from others. He'll feel that he needs a new connection. We're advancing towards a state. We just talked about the individual and his attitude towards himself and the interactions and so on. From a broader point of view, humanity, we're in the 21st century. What's going to grow, the together or the on your own? Both. Both of them together, yes. And what will be the formula for the right balance between being together and being alone? that the together will cover for the individualism. So you have to have both. So, in the day-to-day life, a person will be more directed at what? At being together or being alone, on his own? In 10 years' time, how will people live? If you look at them in 10 years, you'll say about them that they're people that are more alone and on their own, or they're more together. It'll be in harmony, both. From alone to together and from together to alone. That's how it is, in harmony. What is this harmony? So there will be no collision between the two, but mutuality, support. What does it mean for there to be no collision? What's the danger? What danger? The words out of context. I mean the collision between these two attitudes, the alone and the together. You said that these two approaches will work together harmoniously. Just like we see that now, there's a collision. I don't want to go out and connect. And if someone wants to connect to me, I don't want it. There's a collision between the together and the alone. And we'll reach a state where it will become very critical, and I hope that it will happen soon. Then humanity will start looking for, okay, what do we do? What do we do about ourselves? How can we teach people to be together? Because that's what nature is demanding. Otherwise, we'll see natural disasters, wars, people not being able to build a family, not being able to do anything. They'll be very cruel because they won't be able to connect their personality, their individual, with the together. So we'll have to teach them. And they'll want to learn how to do it. How does a person know that he's balanced? Harmony between these two levels. A person will feel that by this he's opening up nature, that he's opening his eyes on a completely new level. In the connection between these two degrees, the personal and the collective, he'll feel that a new world's opening up before him. He'll feel that all the opposite forms connect there and complete each other. The person of tomorrow is an individualist more than today? No. His entire individualism is in order to support the one man. What do you mean? It's a system that as a whole is called one man. I don't understand. In 10 years, a person will be more individualistic than today or not. He'll be individualistic by being connected and included with everyone. Meaning that his individualism will be directed for the benefit of society and not for his own benefit. His own benefit and the well-being of society for him will be the same thing. Can you sum all of this up for us? People reach a state where we feel all of us as one. What does it mean as one? That all of us are like the upper force. We attain the upper force among us, which is what? Mutual bestowal, mutual love that fulfills people, and by that they discover the upper reality. We'll have to keep scrutinizing this. It sounds both complicated and also interesting. In 10 years, will life be more fun? It's preferable to reach this kind of life right now. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.